Careers Ahead on Talk About with Mary Lucy, in association with Cara Credit Union.
And Mary is here in studio with me. You're very welcome, Mary.
Thank you, Deirdre.
Now, it is exam season.
And sure is.
There's a lot of stressed people out there, a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of tearing of hair, and that's just the parents.
I know, yeah. I know. Tell me about it.
Yeah. So there's end of college year, end of year college exams, but of course there's also the dreaded Leaving Cert.
Yes.
We'll come to the Leaving Cert in a few minutes, but we might talk first of all about the end of year college exams. A lot of people getting in touch with us with questions about that. Do you want to speak about that generally, first of all, maybe?
Okay, yeah. First of all, one element that's important that a lot of college students tend to ignore is that there are exam regulations issued by each of their colleges. And it's really important they look at those examination, you know, the policies and procedures, etc. Because a simple thing like that, they're not allowed into an examination centre without their student ID card. Some students aren't aware of that and they may have even lost their student ID card. So they would be stopped going into the examination centre if they haven't got that.
And so, they police it rigorously,
yes,
obviously.
They do, because obviously, you know, for, you know, to compliance and quality, they have to make sure the right person is going in and it's the person who's registered on the course, etc. And that will all be displayed and there'll be photographic evidence on their student ID card. So that's really important. Also, simple matters like they're not allowed in past maybe 15 or 20 minutes based on the college into the examination centre once the exam starts. They're not allowed leave the examination centre for the last 15 or 20 minutes. And if somebody runs in 30 minutes late, you know, they won't be allowed into the exam. So therefore, it means it'll be recorded as a fail and they'll have to repeat it. And it's no good saying my alarm clock didn't go off or, you know, my phone didn't, the battery was dead and the jam. You know, the onus is on the student.
To get there.
Yeah. So it sounds kind of quite simple, these things, but over the years I've come across on numerous occasions students standing outside the door and not being allowed in. And it's awful to think that they've got to this stage and something simple like that, just an oversight on their behalf, has resulted in a fail or not them, you know, being able to finish their year, for example, without a repeat. So just simple things like that. So keep an eye and make sure that you check through them all and make sure you bring just what you need into the examination. And that does include a pen and a biro. Again, students go in and say, can I borrow a pen and a biro? You know, you need to have that going in. It sounds quite simple, but believe me, a lot of students go in with nothing except, for example, their student ID card. So bring what you need and don't bring anything else that you're not allowed into the exam centre.
And I presume you're not allowed phones?
No. Normally, like, phones have to be put away or put into a certain location. And normally that's established. And again, if you want to use the bathroom, there's a certain protocol during the examination centre, you know, that, you know, there's somebody, an invigilator will go with you to the bathroom, etc. So it's quite strict because, I mean, you have to remember the colleges have to keep up their quality assurance, and by having those policies and procedures in place, they're ensuring that each student is treated objectively and they all have the same, you know, option and the same opportunity to do well during their exam.
So the likes of MTU, Mary, would most of those have their college exams in May with a view to an opportunity to repeat later on in the year?
Yes, that's what would happen normally at third level. They would have, say, assessments, assignments would have to be up probably this week. That would be work during the term, and then they will have final written exams normally the beginning of May. Across the country they will have those, and they would be the ones that would have very strict, you know, guidelines and exam procedures. And then they get their results normally beginning of June. And then they have an option, first of all, if they want to appeal or, you know, query the result, and then to register for their repeat exam normally in August, so that they, if they pass it, they're ready to go back to college then in September. That's normally the procedure.
A listener's been on saying that her son tells her he doesn't have to sit two of his final exams because he's already passed based on the continuous assessments. Could that be right? She's doubting this. She says, I'm worried that he's not right as he's only a first year. Could that be right?
It could, but it may not be also. Now, I get a lot of students contact me during the summer to say they have failed a third level subject because of this situation. Now, what the student needs to do, and each student needs to do, is look at the course, their subject syllabus. If the overall exam is 100% continuous assessment, well, then the student is fine because there's no end of year exam. But if there is an end of year exam and it says all components of the subject must be passed, that student must also go in to do the end of year exam. And what can happen is that a student might have 60% overall. So they do feel, well, I've passed, I'm fine. You know, I don't have to do that. But if it's written in the module descriptor that they must pass all components of the exams, that means he or she needs to go in to the final written exam part, even if it's only 30%, and they have to pass that as well.
Okay.
So they need to look at the module and see what is the requirement for in the examinations to ensure that he's passed. If it's 100% contingency assessment, he's fine if he's passed.
There's a question along those lines about college exams that came in for you, Mary, recently, and I think it's relevant to what we're talking about today. Someone who's a second year student says, I now realise I hate my course. I'm planning on following something entirely different career-wise. I'm up to date at the minute with assignments, etc. Is there any point or rationale in doing my end of year exams? Wouldn't it be a waste of my time when I know I'm going to go on and do something else?
Again, I get a lot of these queries when people finish first year, second year, even third year sometimes in college, and they decide, you know what, this is not for me. I thought I'd get into it and I just detest it and detest it more and more as I go on. The fact that the student has mentioned they're up to date with their assignments and assessments, I would be inclined to advise to sit the final exams because a lot of the work is done at this stage. Just a few things. If he or she finishes and is successful in third year, or second year it was, in second year, if they decide to opt for another route, they may get some exemptions from the modules that they have covered. Whereas if they stop now, they have nothing to show for second year as such, whereas she will have two complete years. And also, when she's going for other courses or for interviews, it looks better if she completed the course, even though she knew it wasn't for her. It looks better, especially when she's up to date with things. Also, if she decides to go back and repeat, go back and follow a different route in a career-wise in third level college, she'd be liable for additional fees for first and second year. And if she leaves now, she'll still be liable for the additional fees because she was in college. So she'd be as well off and she'd have more to show to finish off the final year exams, would be my advice.
Yeah, okay. And you can understand why she doesn't want to.
I do, yeah. But if she's up to date with the material, it'll probably be, and she only needs to get a pass in the exams. She doesn't need to be aiming for first class honours or, you know, a pass, which I'm sure she'll manage.
That's very good advice. Mary, we'll take a quick break, but we have more college related questions for you. And we're also going to talk a bit about the Leaving Cert and the stress involved in that, and the stress for parents when the kids aren't pulling their weight study-wise. We'll talk about all of that in a moment. Just remind listeners, we're on 066 712 3666 if you want to call us. Mary Lucy is going to stay with us from Careers Ahead, and she's back with us after these.
Careers Ahead on Talk About with Mary Lucy, in association with Cara Credit Union.
Now, by the way, just before we go back to Mary to let you know, we had no winner of Friday's bingo, and the jackpot is for €28,200 in the bingo. And today, again, we are playing for €400. So forgot to mention that earlier. So just to bring you up to speed with that. Now, we're talking to careers expert Mary Lucy. We're talking about end of year college exams and all that that entails. And we'll be talking in a moment about the Leaving Cert, because, of course, the children went back today. The young people went back to school after the Easter break. We have a question for you on college exams, Mary, from a listener who says, my son, who's an avid footballer, has been out on and off due to injuries for the entire college year. He feels he's probably missed too much time in college to pass his exams. He's told his lecturers why he missed classes, etc. Is that enough for him to do in case he fails his exams?
No, I would think he needs to get medical certification why he missed his lectures or his exams or whatever. And he needs to document everything, get it signed off officially, and he needs to ensure then that he applies for a deferral if he fails his exams. That means basically that it won't go down as a failing, it will go down as a first sitting, because he had extenuating circumstances why he missed out on his college year.
Okay.
So he needs to follow up on that.
Now, we've got a couple of questions about leaving CERT, and I think that's obviously in a lot of people's minds at the moment with the parents. The first one, I think, will come as no surprise to you, Mary, from a listener in South Kerry, says, my son seems to have no drive in relation to studying. No matter what my wife and I tried to do to encourage him, has Mary any advice?
Yeah, this is a common problem that a lot of parents contact me about. I think a lot of time when the students have no drive or they just are very easygoing about studying, we'll say, is that they're not sure what they're aiming for. And it's very difficult, you know, if you're going on a journey and you're trying to get to Dublin, it's very easy to follow the maps and the road to get to Dublin and you reach your destination. If someone said to you, take out the car and go somewhere today and you don't know where you're going, like you're kind of meandering around and you're not sure where to go. And a lot of students don't know what they want to do or what course they want to apply for or what career they want to follow. And if they do know the area that they want to get and they have an idea of a minimum points they need to get and a maximum points, etc., very quickly their own enthusiasm and their drive kicks in. And if you can work with a student and find an area of interest that they're passionate about, it might be something completely random, but you can relate a course to that, very quickly they change, you know, they're motivated and they want to do it for themselves. And that's really important, that if they realise that this is up to them, if they want to attain this course or this career in an area that they like, well, then they need to work. And a lot of the time, they don't know what they're doing. So, you know, I talk to them, they say, I don't know what to do. You know, I don't know what I'd like. I don't know what course. I've applied for the CEO, but I've nothing definite down. But when we go through a number of options, suddenly, and they talk to people, etc., in different areas, or maybe do little courses or whatever, they suddenly say, I hadn't even thought there's a career in that area. And they suddenly get motivated and they suddenly start to work. So, I mean, it's not too late. There's 6 weeks left. So it's amazing what you can do in 6 weeks.
So this young lad needs a focus.
I would think so, yeah.
Another listener says, my daughter's so anxious about her leaving that I believe it's going to hinder her performance. She's a high achiever. We're trying to support her, arranging grinds, etc., and after school study. Is there anything else we can do to help her?
That's the opposite extreme now. Probably do more hobbies outside of school, I would imagine, so that she can relax a little bit.
Time management as well, maybe.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And some students as well don't realise the difference between homework and study. So there's a time for completing homework, which is required for the next day or, you know, for Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever. And then there's additional time for revision and studying. And in actual fact, if they can get into that habit from fifth year, the sixth year then is such an ease to go through because they're just again revising as they're going along. It's difficult for parents whose son or daughter are very anxious because they do feel they're afraid that, you know, there'll be, you know, a negative outcome from it all. So I think if you point out to her, first of all, whatever career path she wants, if you show her the fact that you can attain any career, you know, through a number of means. One of the means is by achieving very high CAO points, but the other means is going a longer route, but you still get there. And once she's reassured that, you know, okay, I want to do, for example, we just say physiotherapy or medicine, and that's why I'm so anxious about my points. If you can show her that, okay, this is the direct way to do it, but you can also do it this way or this way, well, then there's a reassurance there that, okay, if I really want to be a physiotherapist, even if I don't get these high points that I'm aiming for, I can follow A, B, C, D. And I mean, I would show students who are high achievers, who are anxious like that, that if you don't get 600 points and if you get 500 points, this is what you can do, etc. So they become, you know, reassured and they're back in control. And that's why they're anxious. They're out of control and they're afraid of what's going to happen. So if they can regain control over their courses or their paths they're going to take, they will feel less anxious.
Okay, that's very good advice as well. We have a question about grinds from a South Kerry listener. Mary says, do you think grinds are a good idea? My child wants me to arrange grinds for the last 6 weeks in 4 subjects. Any thoughts? That's a lot of grinds.
First of all, when I work with some Leaving Cert students and we try to arrange an appointment to meet them, they have real difficulty because they're trying to fit me in among grinds every evening. So that is an issue, I believe. Especially if a Leaving Cert student starts to disengage with the class in the school because they know they're going to get a grind in the area. So that is an issue, I think it happens, and they're relying, they become too reliant on the grinds and the quantity of grinds. And also you have to realise that what happens if they do progress to a college course or they progress further on the course, there'll be nobody there to give them additional grinds. So even though they might be achieving a higher mark through their grind, it's a false mark in some ways because they're getting so much additional support. If a student is on the borderline of, say, H5 and H4, you know, you have to remember if they get, say, 59, they'll get say 4, whereas if they get 60, they'll get H5. And they're very close and they really are, you know, good at a subject area and they really, that would support them hugely. I have no problem with the grind, but I have a problem with the grind in every subject when they're out every evening trying to do grinds, because I think it would backfire on them. And when they do progress, you know, they will be solely reliant on their own abilities, academic abilities, and that may, you know, hinder their performance then when they're in college.
Yeah, I mean, a grind in one or two subjects, yes, I presume wouldn't be too bad, especially...
Especially if it's given them confidence in the subject, you know, because that's what it's about a lot of the time.
A listener about first-year exams in college says she's the parent of a boy doing his first-year exams in UCC. He's after breaking a finger. Now, I presume it's on his writing hand. Yeah. She's wondering what options are there.
Yeah, well, what she can do is that, first of all, ensure there's medical certification to back up everything that has happened, and then contact the examinations office and tell them what has happened. They may be able to prescribe a scribe that the student can, you know, dictate his exam answers to, etc., and the scribe will write them out for them. Or they may decide that if he's in a lot of pain or whatever, they may defer his exam results. But with both options, he will not be disadvantaged, because if it's deferred, it's like a first sitting. And if there's a scribe assigned, well, then he'll just do the exams now. So I would contact them straight away and let them know. But make sure that there's medical certification.
No, we've a lot of questions that have come in a bit late, but I really want to squeeze this one in, if I could ask you to be reasonably brief in the answer, Mary. It's a 36-year-old mature student who wants to do primary school teaching, but first needs to go to do two or three subjects, maybe four, to get teaching. Could Mary give me any advice on where to start or go looking? I'm also in receipt of social welfare, so would I need to pay to do those subjects, or what would I have to pay? Any help or guidance would be great. Am I correctly assuming this person hasn't done the Leaving Cert, maybe?
Sounds like he hasn't done the Leaving Cert. If that's the case, he should contact VITAS. He or she should contact VITAS, and she could apply to resit the Leaving Cert with VITAS. There isn't enough details to see what subjects, etc. They would need English, a certain level in Irish and maths, for example. But there's no charge to do the Leaving in VITAS. So if they contact VITAS in Tralee, they would help out.
And it won't cost them anything?
No cost with
VITAS. Yeah, so that's the first thing you should do. And I suppose the subjects then would be the very basics, like the English.
I would imagine it's English and maths if it's Leaving Cert. Yeah.
And if it's primary school teaching, you'd need Irish as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you need a certain level in Irish as well.
Okay.
Talk to somebody else.
Yeah.
She should probably talk and have a chat, even get in touch with me, and just to see what's going on in the background there, and I can give the best advice I can then.
Yeah, apparently this person has done the Leaving.
Oh, sorry.
But you see, the question is confusing. He says, I want to do primary teaching, but first I need to go to do two or three subjects, maybe four, to get teaching. I'm not sure what they mean if they've done the Leaving.
No, maybe they didn't get the Irish that's required. I would imagine they didn't get the level of Irish that's required for primary teaching, and there would be a certain level in maths and English. So that's probably, so they may have to, you know, redo those subjects.
Perfect. Okay. This person says, yes, I have done the Leaving, but I need to get better results. Okay. I think you answered that comprehensively. Yeah. Mary, we've got to let you go. We're over time, but thank you so much for that.
You're more than welcome.
And we will see you and talk to you again next month, all going well. And just loads of people texting in saying, what good is it putting this out on the radio today when all the parents are at work and the students are at school? We'll put it up as a podcast. Don't worry.
Perfect.
You get to listen back. And Mary is available at careerahead.ie. If you want to check out how to contact her. We'll take a break, folks. We're back in a moment to talk about insurance.